The body after 7 decades is not the same as it was in our 20s. We don't need experts to tell us that. Our bodies make sure we feel it. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, in for Kate Archer-Kent. We're taking this hour to talk about what health looks like in our 70s, physical and mental changes. And even when we anticipate them coming, the experience is new and different. What health questions do you have about being in your 70s? What changes have you noticed? Maybe you'd wish you'd known about them sooner. Have you suffered a fall or a break? How did you recover and how are you avoiding falling again? 800-642-1234. You can call that number or email ideas@wpr.org. Our guest is Dr. Alyssa Trowitzki. She practices family medicine and primary care for Bellin Health in Green Bay. Dr. Trowitzki, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Let's start with osteoporosis. It's a disease that weakens the bones to the point that they break easily. Why is this a concern in our 70s?
Yeah, absolutely. So as we age, we lose our bone density. Our peak bone density happens in our 30s, and then from there on, it tends to decline. There are things we can do, though, to help keep our bone density stronger, and I would say the most important thing is to make sure you're staying active and avoid smoking.
That will help to keep that bone density, to kind of stave off or at least lessen osteoporosis.
Correct.
What about osteoporosis? Should we just assume we all have it? Do people realize that this is a condition they have until or before they break something?
They may not realize they have problems with their bone density until there's been a fracture, but we do recommend starting at about age 65, speaking with your physician to determine if bone density screening is appropriate.
What about the fact that we are in the nation's dairy state? We double down on calcium in our diets. How much of a problem is it for us here? Do you see it in your patients?
I definitely do still see it. Calcium intake is very important for maintaining our bone density, but the thing we don't get enough of around here is vitamin D. We tend to stay inside all winter because it's cold, and then in the summer we might stay inside because it's too hot. So we don't tend to get enough vitamin D, which is also quite important to helping absorb that calcium and get it into our bones.
So you mentioned diet and exercise. What kinds of things can we do or foods can we eat to help prevent those weakened bones?
Yeah, we recommend doing weight-bearing exercise. So like walking is excellent exercise for maintaining our bone density. And then in terms of foods, we really recommend those calcium-rich foods. So that's the dairy products. But then also the leafy green vegetables are quite rich in calcium as well.
Over the past couple of decades, the number of deaths by falls has grown dramatically in people 65 and over. Wisconsin state health authorities reported nearly 1,400 deaths in 2017. Because people fell, that's about 600 more than just a decade ago. What's driving that trend?
I think there's a number of reasons that trend is increasing, and some of it may be due to medication use or unsafe living environments. People are living longer, and they're trying to stay in their homes longer, and so sometimes factors in the home can lead to falls as well.
And how do falls lead to other problems and health concerns? It's not just the initial fall.
Correct. What we see is after a fall, the injury may cause us to stay in bed more than we would before, and that can lead to physical a loss of bone strength, muscle strength, and deconditioning overall. So it's important to seek health care after having a significant fall so that we can make sure you stay active and at your healthiest.
We're talking this hour about the health of septuagenarians, that is, people in their 70s. Our guest is Dr. Alyssa Trowitzki from Bellin Health. I'm Keely Boltina. Do you have a parent or grandparent in their 70s? What changes have you noticed in their health? Maybe you're in your 70s. How have you changed your home to account for new health challenges? And what questions do you have for a doctor? Call 800-642-1234. Send us an email at ideas@wpr.org. Are we able to rebuild bones in later decades if you didn't do a good job when it was when you were strong in your 30s and 40s and 50s? Is there a way to make up for that bone density?
There is not really. Once that loss starts, it's hard to get it back. But the goal of maintaining bone density is really to keep it from falling off any further. So we do that with diet, exercise, and then sometimes medications.
Yeah. And that combination will be different depending on the patient?
Correct. Absolutely. There's a number of factors that go into deciding what the right treatment is for our patients.
And what should we be considering then if there are those number of factors? What should we expect to be asked about or looking at when trying to figure out what the right way to keep healthy bones in our 70s is as an individual?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very important to have a once a year, what we call annual Medicare wellness exam, to check in on your health status. I make a personal point to ask about my patient's diet and their exercise habits and any falls that they've had in the past year so that we can really address these risk factors moving forward.
Are there changes that you recommend your patients make in their homes or what they do to try to avoid those falls and stay safe without breaking those bones?
Absolutely. So the number one cause of falls in the home that can be easily remedied is removing throw rugs. Throw rugs tend to trip us up in the middle of the night when we're going to the bathroom or when we're hurrying around our house, and then they cause us to slip and fall. So getting rid of throw rugs can be an easy solution. But then making sure we have other accommodations as well. So as we lose strength, sometimes having assistive devices in the bathroom to help us grab bars, to help us get up off of the toilet, or to make sure we have something to hold on to in the shower, or even putting a shower chair in the shower can be an easy fix to help avoid some of these falls.
Changes in mobility, they come with age. They can also cause a lot of frustration. How do you recommend patients deal with the stress and maybe even sometimes a bit of shame?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important for patients to feel like they can tell their physician about these changes and have an open and honest discussion. You know, we can make recommendations for assistive devices like canes, walkers, and sometimes even wheelchairs to help people get around better. But the other thing we can do is refer them to our physical therapy departments to help build that strength back up and protect those joints so they don't hurt quite as much.
Yeah. And what about that kind of stigma, though, of a walker or a cane? How do you talk patients through that to kind of get over it and be okay? Because that's what they need for safety.
Yeah, it's challenging sometimes. You know, we all are very prideful individuals, and we don't want to admit that things are changing with us. But especially after a fall, it's much easier to convince someone that they're in need of these devices. You know, I just make sure I bring it up at our visits. And we also do a standardized test on all of our patients who come for Medicare wellness exams to see how they're moving. It's called the time to get up and go test, where we have them rise from a chair, walk about 10 feet, turn around, and come sit back down, and we time how long that takes. And the longer it takes, the more likely we are to see falls in our patients. So that can be a useful tool for starting the conversation.
The right metric, sure. We're taking tips on getting and staying healthy in our 70s. Dr. Alyssa Trawitzky guides us through this decade. And now we're focusing on the senses, sight, smell, taste. They all change as we age. What held you back with coping with health changes in your 70s? Maybe you did embrace a walker or a new enhanced pair of glasses. What tips do you recommend for staying healthy in this decade? 800-642-1234. Join the conversation here on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, and this is The Morning Show. There's no way around it. Our bodies change as we age. We're talking about health as an older adult this hour, and we're focusing on health in our 70s. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Are you in your 70s? Maybe you're approaching the big 70, or perhaps you care for someone in their 70s. What health challenges do you see? Are you encountering issues with mobility or the senses? What seems to get better as we age into older adulthood? 800-642-1234 is the number. And you can also email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Alyssa Terwitzky practices family medicine and primary care for Bellin Health in Green Bay. She stays with us. And we'll stick here with the conversation about osteoporosis. Let's bring in Kathy from Brookfield. Good morning, Kathy.
Hi, good morning. I do have a question about the medications. I have a strong family history of osteoporosis, and my bone density shows osteopenia. My physician would like to have me go on one of the medications, but I'm frankly a bit scared away by the side effects that I read about. And I have read that a lot of women have that same reaction when they read about the medications. Could you comment on that, please?
Kathy, thanks for that question. Dr. Terwitzky, what do you see?
Absolutely. I definitely hear this concern from my patients on a regular basis. And what we use to kind of help us decide if you should go on a medication or if it's not quite time is something called the FRAX score, which tells us what your risk of major fractures is in the upcoming years. And when we see that number start to rise, it makes us concerned about bone density and makes us think about starting a medication. There are definitely concerns about the medications. There are some very significant side effects that have been seen. I most often hear about concerns about femur fractures and then also losing bones in the jaw because of these medications. I will say that is quite rare, and it's not one of the most common things we hear about with it. The most common side effect I often hear about is actually just some acid reflux. But they are something to take into consideration. It is important to kind of consider these risks. And so that's why I recommend having an open and honest discussion with your physician about your concerns to make sure that you're making the right choice for you and that it's going to be something that will help you and not hurt you in the long run.
And Kathy mentioned osteopenia. Can you just define that for us? We've been talking about osteoporosis, but let's define the difference.
Osteopenia is kind of a pre-osteoporosis condition. It's when the bone density first starts to weaken, but before we see true osteoporosis setting in.
Thanks for that. Thanks for your comment, Kathy. And Rory in Eau Claire is also talking about mobility this morning. Welcome to the morning show, Rory.
Good morning.
And how have you seen changes? How have you implemented some changes to help someone you know in their 70s?
Yeah, so about 2 years ago, my mother was recently widowed, and she's 81. And I actually moved her from Green Bay to Eau Claire to live with me because I had adult children that had lived in the house. Now they're all gone. But I had to reimagine what my house looked like when I brought her into my home, different things like having an electrician come in and adding lighting to the hallways because it was too dark. Adding not just a stabilizing bar in the shower, but outside the shower so that she could easily get in and out without falling. Adding a table in the garage so that when she goes to the grocery store and she's trying to access the house, she can set her things down, focus on the door, and enter the house. Just different things like that. I had to kind of walk through the house and imagine what her day-to-day living was like with her movement.
And Rory, have those changes you made a difference?
It has. If I can get her to be less impulsive about doing things and ask for help, that would be excellent.
Rory, good luck on that one. Dr. Terwitzky, she mentioned adding lighting. And so that speaks to the fact that our eyesight changes as we move into our 70s. What happens to the body there?
Absolutely. It sounds like she's done a wonderful job making accommodations for her mother. I'm really glad to hear that. As we age, our senses definitely do start to change, and our eyesight tends to worsen. There's a number of medical problems that can cause worsening eyesight, but not just medical problems. I'm sure younger listeners have also experienced that their eyesight starts to change even in the 40s and needing the cheater glasses in order to read things kind of closer up. So those changes can continue into the 70s as well, and it's important to acknowledge them. As part of the annual Medicare wellness visit, we also do a brief screening exam to make sure the vision is not falling off too quickly, but it's important to see an eye doctor on a regular basis as well.
I'm Keely Boltina, and we're talking this hour about health in our 70s. Our guest is Dr. Alyssa Trowitzki, who practices family medicine and primary care for Bell & Health. Are you caring for someone in their 70s? What challenges do you see in their health? Maybe you're in your 40s or 50s or 60s. As you look ahead, what questions do you have for a doctor? Call 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Trowitzki, are glasses or even corrective surgery options for our eyes at this stage of development, or are some of these changes things we can't affect?
Absolutely. These are things that are appropriate. So actually, cataract surgery, which a number of people need in their 70s, can be very corrective for the vision and may actually eliminate the need for glasses altogether.
I know when my grandpa had cataract surgery, the results were so fast, he was blown away. We had to back off on his prescription. So that it specifically is something that makes a big difference very quickly.
It does. It really does.
And how important is being able to see clearly at this stage of life? You may still be driving, you may not. Why is it important to maintain this sense?
It's important so that we make sure we're taking our medications correctly, avoiding accidents, acknowledging that there may be roadblocks in front of us, whether that's while we're driving or in the home, and just keeping our overall well-being.
And there isn't so much a social stigma with wearing glasses. It seems to be there is kind of one with hearing aids. Let's talk about hearing loss in our 70s. How do we approach that?
Hearing aids have come a long way in the past couple of years. They actually now can contain Bluetooth technology so that you can Bluetooth your phone directly into the hearing aid, and you can Bluetooth your television directly into the hearing aid as well. So it's quite amazing how far this technology has come. Hearing loss can be a big problem for people in their 70s, and most people don't want to admit that they have trouble hearing. But hearing loss can really cause social isolation as well, because people tend to stay away from social situations if they can't hear clearly. And that can cause trouble with mood and other problems as well. So being able to hear is very important.
Or you can see it even when people are in social situations and they struggle to hear. They don't participate as much. They don't talk as much. They're kind of embarrassed to have to repeatedly ask, you know, what is it? What have you said? So that can change the social dynamics, even if you do feel like you're getting out and able to interact with people. How critical is it for us to make those connections and maintain that social side of things?
It's very crucial. It helps to maintain our mental health, which does impact our physical well-being as well.
We have talked about eyesight and hearing. Does our sense of taste change as we age?
It sure does. What happens is we tend to lose our sense of smell a bit, which is directly correlated with our sense of taste. And so you may notice that people tend to put more seasoning on their food as they get older, more salt and pepper, and that's because they're losing their sense of taste a bit, and so they need more seasoning in order to be able to taste that flavor.
So, and I guess that probably is a challenge if you're dealing with someone who is supposed to have a low-salt diet, high blood pressure, or other issues that may kind of restrict a diet to some things that maybe aren't as flavorful, and then they're looking to put salt on it, but you know, those health outcomes and the experience of eating food, sometimes they might be in conflict here?
Absolutely. And what we recommend is using different seasonings then. So instead of using a salt-based seasoning, we recommend using something like the Mrs. Dash line of seasonings, which come in a variety of flavors but don't have that extra sodium added, so that you can still get a good flavor to your food but avoid the extra salt.
Yeah, and it sounds like as we talk, all of our senses are working together. So everything might be declining a little bit, and that might contribute to our other experiences.
Absolutely, it does.
All right. We're talking about staying healthy after 70 and all of these different things that change in our bodies. Some things we can control, some things are kind of beyond what we can help. And so we're learning about the steps that we can take to improve health in this decade. Dr. Alyssa Trawitzky practices family medicine and primary care for Bellin Health in Green Bay. And now is the time to join our conversation at 800-642-1234. We want to talk about it. Did your health change for the better or worse during this decade? What happened? Maybe you feel happier in your 70s than you did in previous decades. What do you think is behind that? How has your mindset changed along with your mental health and your physical health? Call in or email ideas at WPR.org. This health conversation continues here on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show. And up next is the news. Americans now have an average life expectancy of almost 79 years. And as people are living longer, we're encountering health issues we maybe hadn't considered in our younger years. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. Whether you're a newly minted 70 years old or you're a seasoned 70-something, we have a line for you. 800-642-1234 or an email at ideas at WPR.org. Are your 70s what you thought they'd be? Are you worried about your brain or your body? What surprises you about this stage of life? And what goals do you have to stay physically and mentally fit? Again, 800-642-1234. We've got a doctor in the house. Our guide through our 70s is Dr. Alyssa Trawitzky. She practices family medicine and primary care for Bellin Health in Green Bay. And let's talk with Dan from Minocqua this morning. Dan, what's your question for Dr. Trawitzky?
Hi, doctor. I have a very stubborn 94-year-old mother. And I live in Chicago, and I came up. She's fallen twice in the last 2 weeks. She's stubborn, and that is to her asset. She's an inspiration to everybody. She lives alone on a lake. She drives. She's involved in the church. She's involved in her community. So she's a very active woman, but she's getting weaker and weaker by the month. And my brother and I have to make decisions as far as living arrangements. And so she learns from each fall, you know, she starts saying, well, I could do this differently. So we're trying to accommodate that, but we think she needs 24/7 care. We're not quite sure when that transition is to be made. And she doesn't eat very well and drink very well. So I'm trying to get her to do that more as I learn how to do that for myself at 68 years old, try to eat better and drink more water. So my question is there any rules of thumb for transitions, or is there any information to help us make the decision about her living arrangement and then to convince her?
Right. Dan, I know that you are not alone in trying to navigate this. Dr. Trawitzky, how do you push for what's right for the loved ones you have without offending them and, you know, making them kind of go in the opposite direction? Where can Dan start?
These are often very difficult conversations to have because our loved ones are sometimes very resistant, like Dan has noticed, in making these changes. Sometimes it has to start as a gradual change, so sometimes bringing in extra services like Meals on Wheels to help improve the diet, making changes in the house, and then speaking with your mom's physician to see if there's any other resources in the area. And then sometimes it does have to transition to more of a safety concern and looking towards an assisted living facility or possibly a nursing home. But what I recommend is involving your mother in these conversations and in these decisions and making sure that wherever you end up bringing her, that it's going to be a good fit for her and that she feels comfortable with it. You know, often we see our patients when they enter assisted living facilities really start to thrive because it turns out someone who's been kind of struggling at home just to get by with meals and transportation and medication management gets to a place where there's more social interaction, where there's regular meals, where there's activities, and they just thrive. So it can be a difficult conversation to have, but in the end, I think it's worth having.
So involving them in that conversation and also, I guess, being really honest with them about what you see and what the physician says and just acknowledging that, not pretending like it's not an issue.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a hard conversation to have for sure. What about cancer by your 70s? I mean, should people be getting new cancer screenings? Are there screenings you should get more regularly or maybe less often?
As we age and we get to our 70s, we sometimes actually back down on cancer screening. The guidelines recommend stopping routine pap smears at age 65 for women, and they recommend stopping routine colonoscopies and mammograms at 75, unless someone has a very long life expectancy ahead of them. So as our population ages and as people are healthier into their 70s, we may see those recommendations change. But at the moment, I would say cancer screening actually gets to be a bit less often as you age.
We have annual mortality statistics, and state authorities have seen a gradual rise in liver cancer cases where people weren't diagnosed until their 70s. It looks like the state saw about 117 of those in 2017, and that was up 65% from just 10 years earlier. Should people be getting checked more often for liver cancer? Is this trend concerning?
The new recommendation from the CDC is actually to screen all of our baby boomers, those born between 1945 and 1965, for hepatitis C. And hepatitis C can be a big contributor to liver cancer development. But then also screening for other lifestyle factors that can lead us to develop liver cancer, like overuse of alcohol.
What about progressive diseases, something like multiple sclerosis or diabetes? We may have been able to manage those for decades sometimes. Could that change as people hit their 70s?
Yes. Our bodies start to change as we age, and our distribution of fat and muscle in our bodies tends to shift a bit. And that can make different medications work differently and have different side effects than they may have for a younger population. So it's really important to make sure you're seeing a doctor on a regular basis and touching base on your medications and making sure they're still the right choice for you.
This is The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're taking this hour to talk about the health of people in our 70s. Our guest, Dr. Alyssa Trawitzky, practices family medicine and primary care in Green Bay. Are you looking ahead to your 70s? How are you staying healthy now to help you later in life? Maybe you're already past your 70s. What do you want people to know about your experience in that decade? There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. Steve from Madison couldn't stay with us. He did call to ask, what efforts can people take to avoid dementia and Alzheimer's? Are there lifestyle changes that we can make?
Again, staying active and staying mentally active are really important to help avoid dementia. And then also making sure we're just living a healthy lifestyle, keeping our blood pressure under control, keeping our cholesterol at goal so that we can decrease our risk for stroke and then also decrease our risk for dementia.
When do dementia and specifically Alzheimer's become more common? Is it in our 70s and 80s or does that show up earlier usually?
It can show up earlier in some populations or in some patients, I should say, but it does. We do tend to see it more often starting in the 70s.
Isn't it also, though, pretty common to just kind of feel more forgetful in our 70s? Is there something changing biologically there?
You know, I do hear that concern quite a bit, that memory doesn't seem quite as sharp as it was before. And I often just tell patients, you know what, this is very common, but making lists and just writing things down can be really helpful to remember what we were doing.
How do doctors, though, draw the line between that normal forgetfulness that may increase or it may just kind of be the same and feel greater as we age, and diagnoses for dementia or Alzheimer's? What should the distinction be that we need to follow up on that?
We do have some screening tools that we use as part of our annual Medicare wellness visit to help us decide if it's just a normal kind of memory change with aging or if it's become a real problem.
Let's bring in a call now. Clint from Sun Prairie. Good morning, Clint.
Good morning.
What's your question this morning?
Well, it sounds like, you know, we're talking about life expectancy are, you know, going up or increasing over time. Do we do a statistic to determine if the quality of life increases with that, or does that stay the same and we increase the gap, I guess, of, people may be living longer, but the quality of life just isn't there.
Oh, Clint, thanks for that question. It's a tough one. What do you think, doctor? Are we extending life in a way that, you know, isn't great quality anymore by the time we get really late in our years?
I would say that my patients tend to be healthier now into their later years than they were in the past. And I think that in the 70s and 80s, we certainly can still expect to have a great quality of life. I mean, we get the chance to see our family aging, grandchildren, great-grandchildren even, and really have some more excellent life experiences. So I would say, no, we definitely are still seeing good quality of life in our patients.
And is that growing elderly population nationwide spurring a new wave of research into aging and elderly care?
It definitely seems to be. You often will see more assisted living facilities popping up or these new senior living facilities that let people transition from independent care to assisted living quite seamlessly.
So we're seeing kind of innovation in our treatment options and how we're developing socially. What about equipment or medication? Are we focused on people in their 70s, or are we really paying attention more to young people?
That's an excellent question. And I would say there has been some developments in medicine as well. You know, we're more aware that the more medications we prescribe can have interactions with each other. And so it's something that's been on our minds as physicians to make sure that we're being responsible with our prescribing for patients as well.
Yeah. By 2030, about one in every 10 Wisconsinites will be in their 70s. That's according to state authorities. So as we see this burgeoning population, what other health problems in our 70s should we be getting more attention?
You know, I think just making sure our aging population has their annual Medicare wellness exam with their physician and checking in on a regular basis with their physician to make sure they're doing everything they can be to be staying healthy.
Sure. Yeah. Keeping tabs, making sure you know what that baseline is. We're wondering what questions you have about health in your 70s. There's still time to share your stories with Dr. Alyssa Trowitzki. She practices family medicine and primary care in Green Bay. Share your tips and strategies with us. 800-642-1234. If you're in your 70s, what changes in your health did you notice when you entered this decade? What's surprised you? What do you wish you knew before turning 70? Help us understand our discussion about health as we age continues. I'm Keely Boltina. You're listening to The Morning Show, and it's right here on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking about all aspects of health in our 70s. Bones, hearing, memory loss, illness, you name it, and we're talking through it with a physician. What did your parents or grandparents experience during their 70s? Is that the same or different than what you've found? And what advice do you have for other older adults? 800-642-1234. Join the conversation with us. Dr. Alyssa Trowitzki practices medicine and primary care and family medicine for Bell & Health in Green Bay. Dr. Trowitzki, some things that may be less dangerous for us when we are younger can be really devastating when we're in our 70s. I'm thinking about the flu and pneumonia. I mean, thousands of people in their 70s die from these issues every year. Why are older people at greater risk?
As we age, our immune system tends to be less strong, and then we also have more other underlying medical problems with that. So making sure you get your annual flu vaccine and your pneumonia vaccines are really important.
And this question does come up, should people who are older get flu shots? people are still a little bit worried about them. It sounds like that is the right answer here. Why?
The CDC recommends everyone 6 months and older get a flu shot, and especially in our older population, I definitely recommend it because it can really help to prevent influenza, and it can help to prevent death from influenza as well.
And what else can we do to prevent catching or passing on something like the flu?
It can be really simple as washing your hands, avoiding sneezing and coughing on others, and just, you know, the general simple things in life can really make a big difference.
I mean, speaking of the simple things, as we get older, we need to visit the bathroom more often. What happens with bladders in older bodies?
We tend to get a little bit more funny input from our brain that makes us think we have to go to the bathroom more often. We also do see some structural changes in the urinary tract system that can make us have to go more often. And then sometimes it's medication related. Some medications just make us have to go more often.
And so it sounds like it just depends whether it's an overactive bladder, our brain, incontinence, infection. This is a real issue for people who are older. How often do you see, bladder, urinary tract related issues?
I see those on a daily basis. Huh. And so it's very important to talk with your healthcare provider and make sure that you have a good plan moving forward.
And so just some quick, easy tips. What should we be asking our doctors about when trying to handle those issues with the bladder?
It's very important to bring up the issue. If you're having trouble with the bladder or you're noticing incontinence, just bringing the topic up with your physician and not being afraid to bring it up.
Let's take a call now. Susan in Portage County has some advice for us. Susan, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. Let me give you a few one-liners. One is 70 is young. There are many, many of us that are in our 80s. I almost feel like the attitude is that 70 is over the hill. Many, many of us make it in the 80s. I'm always very aware who gets the vote about placement of people and that we're too soon to tell some older people where to go. Those places are extraordinarily expensive. And if we want to save our taxpayers, don't put us into institutions any sooner, including assisted living, than we really, really need. Another one is using services. Now, the post office does provide that mail delivery can happen to the door. Very important for rural people. I can understand not going miles and miles. But when it's only a couple instances to have somebody step out of the car and put the mail at your door can be very, very, very important. Then the other one-liner is think about getting old when you build your houses. Builders ought to be more cognizant of the importance of planning so that you're not going to be in your 40s all your life. And that's about all, unless you have a question.
Susan, I really appreciate those. They help us orient again. And Dr. Terwitzky, what do you hear there in Susan's experience?
I think those are some really great points, Susan. Definitely planning ahead is a very important thing to do, even starting in younger years, like you mentioned.
I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking this hour about the health of septuagenarians, that is, people in their 70s. Our guest is Dr. Alyssa Terwitzky, who practices family medicine and primary care. We have a few minutes left for your questions and your stories about being in your 70s. Email ideas at WPR.org or call 800-642-1234. Dr. Terwitzky, how late in life can people continue to enjoy an active sex life? Susan just told us about saying, 70s isn't necessarily death. These are real people with real needs and experiences.
Absolutely. There's no reason that a healthy sex life cannot continue. And so if you have any trouble in that area, you should definitely talk to your physician about it because there are treatments we can give you to help.
And this seems like a situation if there are medications for men and women trying to navigate this, it's a cost-benefit analysis with your doctor. What should we consider in kind of the trade-offs maybe?
You know, the other thing we have to consider is the other medications, and is there something we can do to eliminate side effects from medications that could be hampering a healthy sex life?
What about the skin? Wrinkles and lines become more common in our 70s. Our skin is the largest organ of our body. It's more likely to dry out. How do we improve the health of our skin in our 70s?
It's very important to stay well hydrated, to make sure that we are giving our skin the best moisture we can, but then also using topical creams, nice thick moisturizing creams, and not forgetting to use sunscreen when we're out in the sun.
Not too late for sunscreen at all.
It's never too late for sunscreen.
I can see where someone might say, I have to go to the bathroom all the time, and now to keep my skin looking good and feeling good, I have to drink more water, and just seeing kind of this cycle of trying to balance these objectives.
It definitely can be challenging at times, but that's where the nice topical moisturizing creams can also come into play, is you can give a little moisture to the skin without having to drink all the water, but it's still important to stay hydrated.
Yeah, and if that's not quite enough, what treatment options might be available to people?
Yep, I would recommend seeing a dermatologist then if there's any additional skin problems.
Yeah, and so that's not just the way the skin feels, but we often see skin tags, or there are different parts of the skin that may be like isolated cancers, strange moles we should be looking for. What are some things in our 70s that we should kind of have in mind as we watch how things develop on our bodies?
When we're watching for skin cancer, it's not always just a funny mole. Sometimes it's a spot that just won't heal on the skin, and that can be the first sign of a skin cancer. So if you're seeing any flaky patches or spots that just won't heal, it's important to speak with your physician about them.
Even if it's not cancer, is it harder for our bodies to heal when we're older?
Absolutely. Medical problems like diabetes can make our skin and bones more give us more challenges to healing. So sometimes just medical problems in their own right can make it more challenging to heal.
Dr. Trewitzky, what can people look forward to in their 70s? We've talked so much about ailments and challenges. Where's the good?
The good is that we have much more free time. You know, we're not burdened down by work necessarily. So we have more time to enjoy the activities we love, our hobbies. We have time to spend with our families, enjoying our families growing up and getting to see our families develop, our grandkids and great-grandchildren. And we can still travel. We can still travel the world in our 70s. So that's the good.
Do you find that your patients are generally happier in that stage of life versus when they're chasing children or running to work and they're trying to balance all of these different things?
I definitely see patients who are thriving in their 70s and quite enjoying their lives.
Excellent. So many opportunities there for us as we age into our 70s. Dr. Trewitzky, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a really helpful conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Alyssa Trewitzky practices family medicine and primary care for Bell & Health in Green Bay. And we've had a really robust conversation about health in our 70s. Coming up next, we're dangerously close to the weekend. We'll take a tour around the state to some of the last county fairs you can hit before the summer ends. Plus, foods of Wisconsin. Enough said. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina. It's the Ideas Network.